Hey, welcome to another episode of Around Town. Very excited today. We got a special guest. We have Robert Hughes. As you know, Robert and his father and their company are the lead developer for our Bull Street property, which we have seen grown from what some people would have said could look like an abandoned town to people living and working and restaurants popping up. So, Robert, what year is this for you as really kind of fully engaged in this project?
For me personally, probably about 4 to 5 years. For our company, it's been a lot longer than that. Yeah. But we put our first shovel in the ground in 2015. So we're on year 9 of a 20-year project. And it's been a fun, hard, challenging 9 years. But the progress that we've made, we're really proud of. I mean, 180-acre site with over 130 acres back on the tax rolls. Land that had never been on the tax rolls in this city. Restaurants, as you mentioned, retailers open, more and more residents moving in. It's a very exciting time. So I appreciate you having me.
Talk a little bit about, originally there was a real push for more retail. Now it's, as you say, just national trend where retail's chasing the residents. Talk a little bit about the developments that are there from a residential. I mean, I heard every townhouse has been sold out. I heard that I'm stealing his thunder because I keep hearing all this great stuff out there that Merrill Gardens got a waiting list now. Talk about those properties, the development. What's the room for expansion with that? How many units you see coming online and what people should expect?
Absolutely. So, you know, Bull Street's zoned for 3.3 million commercial square feet and 3,558 units. I'm not sure we'll get to 3,500 units, but by the end of this year, we'll have over 750, which could mean upwards of 1,500 to 2,000 people living on the site by the end of the year, which is really exciting and going to be a major milestone for us. But, you know, for sale product like the townhomes, all sold out. Merrill Gardens, active senior living, completely full, 30-person wait list. The Babcock Apartments, 208 apartments, they finished last year. I think they're down to the last handful of units to lease, and everyone has performed really well. And so it's fun to see it all being validated in the variety of product types. You got for sale, for rent, senior, historic, and we have another apartment project, the Bennett Project, which will open this year. 269 Class A units will open, and then 90 units of attainable housing for workforce. So wide variety of price points, wide variety of product types, all performing really well and really fitting that vision of a district that serves the entire community, not just one subset.
Talk a little bit too about the businesses. I mean, y'all pioneered with the first base building. I know there's several law firms that have built some buildings. There's some empty spots still there. You know, people still ask me all the time, why is there the abandoned building still there? You know, when does all that stuff go away? You know, it'd be great to talk a little bit about who's there now, who's potentially coming based on what you can disclose, obviously, and the plan for the rest of the buildings that are out there.
Absolutely. So the first base building was opened in 2016. It was the largest private office building built in Columbia in the last 9 years. And I think now it carries that title for, I guess, 15 years. And, you know, it was a bit of a leap. You know, Ogletree Deacon's law firm was the first office tenant to sign up. They moved in on the top floor. That building is now 100% full. Cap Gemini hiring graduates out of the universities here every semester. Scout Motors just put their Columbia offices in the building, and they're putting a showroom on the ground floor where they'll showcase their cars for everyone in the community to come in and see. So that building has performed tremendously well, and it led us to building the Westlawn office building that has attracted AECOM to come into the city. Several other great tenants like Elliott Davis and Robinson Gray Law Firm. And, you know, the office interest has been tremendous, and that's what's leading to now the retail interest. And the retail interest is growing with Iron Hill Brewery opened last year. They're doing tremendously well. Tupelo Honey Cafe will open this year. And the story just continues to build on itself. And that's what's so exciting about Bull Street is it's not linear growth. It becomes exponential growth because everything adds to the next, and it just gets faster and faster, and the momentum builds more and more.
With the interest in the downtown living, which we think is, you know, going to be more and more probably, I mean, based on last study, we need 16,000 units really to get up to par, which is a mix of higher end, lower attainable workforce housing all played in. how much more growth do you think you can put in there in the housing? You know, you mentioned Merrill Gardens, which is a senior living, is already, you know, has a waiting list. Or they, I think at one time they talked about maybe having a phase two. Where is that?
They're discussing a phase two. We've talked to other developers that want to build similar product types to Merrill Gardens. I think, you know, you can't say the sky's the limit, right? Trees don't grow to the sky. We know that, but the demand, I think, has surprised a lot of us, especially on the housing side. The townhomes that were first selling for about $500,000, the three-story ones are now selling for $700,000. That's tremendous growth for the same unit in just 5 or 6 years. That price point, there are several units that are different sized, that are smaller, that are lower price point, but that story of growth in the investment that's being made there has been overwhelmingly positive. And you hate to say it surprises you, but you know, you are in the restaurant business, you build it all, you get excited, you open the doors, people have to show up. And we've opened the doors and people are showing up.
Yeah. You mentioned Iron Hill. Talk a little bit about when those guys came to town, because we had an opportunity to go over there several times and actually be there for the opening. And the team seemed very excited about the location. And what was really exciting for me to hear from them was the fact that they had too many applicants for jobs, which you don't hear that a lot, which, you know, was very interesting to me. And I'm curious how that tied into, you know, not only their concept, but maybe the location, and that it's Bull Street's become an anchor to draw different parts of the city together that traditionally had a gap because of the 180 acres.
Right. I think, you know, Iron Hill is a great story, and so is Tupelo Honey, of restaurants that would love to be in Columbia, but weren't quite sure where to go, weren't quite sure what part of the city. Should they be on the other side of the river? Should they be out in Forest Acres? Should they be out by the mall? And what we think Bull Street's offering is these national tenants and regional tenants that generally have not found the right home in the market to say, no, we can be in the center of the market. We can be at the intersection of Interstate 26 and 77 when you come into Columbia. Bull Street's convenient to everyone in the Midlands.
Yeah.
And so Iron Hill really felt that from the number of job applicants that they received and the ability to staff and bring in quality staff. And the sales have shown that as well. They have been above plan every month since the first month they opened. And that's not always that easy in the restaurant business. So it's a real success story. And the more stories we have like that, not only help Bull Street, but help the entire city and the entire region. So it's a story we want to get out there. It's a story we want people to know, and we're very happy to tell.
Talk to us a little bit about the development where it is, you know, because it varies phases. I know there's a lot of roads being done, curb and gutter there in the front, so it looked like, you know, the typical street war zone.
Yep.
Talk to us, you know, we're coming through the main entrance. Talk to us about what's going on where and where the next growth pod's going to be there.
Sure. So one of the fun things about Bull Street, if you go back to the very beginning of the planning, is, you know, we had a site with 180 acres with no modern infrastructure, no roads, no sidewalks. And we had to sit there and say, we have to make decisions today that are the right decision, not for the next building to get built, but for 100, 200 years from now. So we spent a lot of time thinking about where the roads should be, what should be under the roads. So when technology changes, we're ready. And we're not having to cut our streets and cut up our sidewalks and change the pedestrian experience. And so you come straight in off of Elmwood and you hit the beautiful Babcock Dome that went up last year. That street dead ends into the dome. You turn straight left and you go down Pickens Street to this beautiful old Williams building, the central portion, which is being restored. And that street dead ends onto the Williams building. So every street out there, we tried to line up on something either interesting today or interesting in the future. And that front 30 acres, that Pickens Street, main corridor. I think Pickens Street, it will be our focus. I know Pickens Street will be our focus for the next several years, turning it into really Bull Street's main street. You'll come in, head straight down Pickens, beautiful tree-lined street, angled parking, parallel parking, shops, restaurants, all opening up onto the street, opening up to great public space behind the Williams building. Just going to be a very exciting time. And what you can finally see at Bull Street, you know, we've talked a lot about this vision of wide sidewalks, great street trees, great public spaces, restaurants and retailers opening up onto the street. The vision has been easy to tell the story of, but you haven't been able to see it. And now with the completion of Pickens Street, the completion of the Bull and Elmwood intersection, the Bull and Matilda Evans intersection, those, the new stoplight, all of those pieces, you can now come out, walk, see, and feel what this place is going to be everywhere in that front 30 acres. And that's really exciting because instead of selling a vision and trying to tell a story and show renderings and show pictures, it's now, no, come take a look. Come get in your car, drive over here, come walk this with us, and you can see and feel it. And that change has been tremendous.
So you've talked about the front 30. Let's talk about the back 30. Talk about behind the Babcock building and the townhomes. What's going to happen there? I mean, we have Central Energy kind of anchored by itself down there with Downtown Church and event space there. What happens from behind?
Sure. So as you head behind Babcock, you've got a couple other great historic buildings, the bakery building, the laundry building, which is being redeveloped now, the old Parker Annex, which is an office building. So this great little village of historic buildings that have all been restored, which is part of the fabric, which is part of the uniqueness of Bull Street, is keeping these old buildings and retaining the history. As you move down to Central Energy, which is in the old Central Energy plant for the old whole campus, tons of great development opportunities right around that building. I think you'll see more housing. Whether it's for sale or for
talk
rent.
About the housing though, what do you envision there? I mean, we talking townhomes and condos, quadruplexes. What are you seeing there?
You know, we've stayed away from single family homes. You know, townhomes is the most suburban that we've gotten. Our zoning allows for single family homes. For us, that didn't fit the vision. The vision's dense. I think you could pretty easily go in there and throw up some tract homes and do some single family residential development. That doesn't fit the vision. That doesn't bring the energy. That doesn't bring the people. And so it's denser than that. It's, you know, if it is townhomes, it's a lot of townhomes per acre. It's 20-ish townhomes per acre. Probably more multifamily to fit that need you were talking about. Maybe more senior housing. And then as you get closer to the park, I think you could get back down maybe a smaller scale, maybe a little less dense, but tying into the park. And then the great thing is the anchor on the other side of the park, having the University of South Carolina putting their health science campus there, leading with a $300 million first phase, bringing a ton of students, faculty, staff, all of those people feeding into the restaurants, needing places to live, being right on that park. I think having an anchor like that on the other side of the park is just going to help fill everything in between in.
So we're coming down, we're going towards Ellen Page Park, you know, and we're looking over and we get to Merrill Gardens. So what's going to happen on that? Let's move our way back up. We're going towards Segra Park. There's a whole lot of space there. Talk to us about that.
The great part, you know, you see a lot of land. I see a lot of, and some folks say, well, you know, that's a lot of undeveloped land. That's not good. It's great. It's opportunity. It's a way to capture the market of what's coming. We're working, and it was something that the city and the county councils both agreed to support a great multifamily project out in left field that we're hopeful happens, even given today's interest rate and construction pricing environment. The attainable housing project is right behind Merrill Gardens. And then there's several, you know, if not 20 or 30 more acres around there to develop and to fill in and fit the needs. That's the great part about the plan at Bull Street. And we said this early on, there is no way we can tell you what's going to be built out there because we have to respond to the market. There's no way to build every square foot out there because the market couldn't absorb it. But the more we do, the more demand there is, the more we can respond and grow and adapt to what is needed. You know, the plan in 2008, when the first Andres Duany plan was done, I think had 1,500 condos on it. And we all know what happened with condo development in 08, 09.
You know, that's the number one request that we get, condos downtown.
And I would love, you know, our role as master developers not to build it all. We don't want to build it all. We want other development partners to come in like we've seen at Merrill Gardens and Prophet Dixon Apartments and Babcock and Connolly Development, all the development partners we've had that have been so great to work with. I'd love a condo developer to come in and say, look, I want to build condos right in the right field of the baseball stadium, looking into the ballpark. That would be a tremendous development. But I think condos are back and there's a great need for them and a great use case for them. So we would love to do a condo development, fits that dense urban profile that we were talking about. And I think really the sky's the limit. I don't think we'll get to 3,500, but I think we'll get well over 2,000 and close to 3,000 units by the time we're done.
Thinking that through, so you get to those units, what else do you see that would really enhance what's already going on? What are some of those missing links that you're chasing?
Yeah, you hit on this earlier. You know, there was a big push and a lot of plans from another developer to do a lot of retail at Bull Street. And there was the whole prediction of retail Mageddon, right? That we heard in 2015, 16, 17, that Amazon was going to kill brick and mortar retail. And I think everyone listening to this podcast and everyone knows now that brick and mortar retail is not going anywhere. In fact, I think there's never been more demand for great brick and mortar retail, but they're going to follow the rooftops and they're going to follow the office workers. And so by putting all these residents at Bull Street and building great places for people to live, we're going to backfill then with the restaurants and the retail and the shops. And that's really the missing link in curating that mix. You know, this place, Bull Street, is authentic. Bull Street cannot be the kind of place that if you got dropped out of an airplane, you wouldn't know if you were in South Carolina or Ohio or Nevada. Bull Street is not that. The trees are too special. The old buildings are too special. And the opportunity is too great. So it has to be a great mix. REI is a great national retailer. They were looking to be in the market. We were so happy to have them. But REI has got to be complemented by the retailer we announced this week. You know, PVOLV, a Columbia resident, woman-owned business, investing in her community, opening her new location at Bull Street. So blending that national, regional, and local mix to create an authentic experience, that's really the fun part of what we're doing right now. And that's what I think is you're going to hear a lot more about over the coming months and years, is who fits that mold, where are they going to be at Bull Street, and how do we tie it all together?
Yeah, I mean, obviously the retail market, office market has changed. I mean, Class A office, people want new Class A, but they also taking less space. You know, workforces are much more flexible, much more condensed. People aren't buying or building or leasing large amounts. Retailers' footprints are smaller, rotating out. What's coming down the pipe that we don't know about yet that you can share?
I'm trying to think what fits that bill. I think you're exactly right that it is smaller footprints. It's quicker turnover, which is hard in the real estate business, right? You build a long-term asset, you want to sign a long-term lease, and you want to sign it with a credit tenant, and you certainly don't want them to go anywhere. So balancing that is a struggle. But the fun part is all these new concepts. There's so many new concepts that have come out that started online. So it's not so much that Amazon and the online retail world has killed brick and mortar. Really, it has created brick and mortar.
It's opened up more opportunities.
Right. Every one of these online brands has said, I need a brick and mortar location. And they want to be in college towns. They want to be in growing cities. They want to be in cities with energy and excitement. And they want just like office workers want to be in the best office space, retailers want to be in the best retail space. And I think that's creating opportunity for us and for really all of Columbia, because the town checks so many of those boxes for these retailers. There are some good reasons why Columbia's missed certain retailers, but there's really some areas where there's really no good reason at all. And it's just a matter of, as you know, going and getting them and bringing them here and showing them all the stuff that's happening and getting them into the city and into Bull Street, and their eyes get open. And that's been a really fun part of the process as well.
Before I talk about future and the opportunities that are across the road, you know, somebody asked me a question. It was really directed to you, and somehow they asked me, and I said, I can't answer that question because I'm not the developer. If you could go back, hindsight, 2020, what would you do different?
Oh, man. Wall Street. It's a great question.
Somebody asked me this on the radio. I'm like, I'm not the developer.
Yeah.
I can tell you what I would have done from an outlook, you know, picking off and concentrating it and slowly getting there.
Yeah.
I think we bit off a lot in the beginning, put too much pressure on everybody to perform in a crazy atmosphere.
I tried to mention earlier, you know, our role as master developer has been to build what needs to be built when there's an opportunity, and then to find great development partners and bring in partners to build and add to the overall vision. And
but it
find
still all has to mesh.
Correct. It has to fit our vision, and we have to work together. Yes.
And they have to complement each other. And so I don't want anybody to think it's just like, oh, well, you know, townhomes were the thing. That's what we chose. No, there was a plan with that.
Correct.
It's just the way it came differently. It's
our job to weave it all together. We will build what we think is appropriate to build, and we'll try to set the standard for what we expect development to look like. But we will find and have found great development partners that want to tie into that fabric, that buy into the vision, that buy into the future of Bull Street and the future of Columbia. And I think looking back and reflecting on 9 years of construction, I think the one thing we did, to your point, was expectations got a little out of line early on. You know, we had a development partner who was making great strides, who had done a tremendous amount of work and expended a tremendous amount of effort, time, and money. And that was all very positive work. That work led to REI. That work has led to plenty of other construction that's happened. But unfortunately, expectations got ahead of where what ended up being reality. And sometimes it's hard to recover from. So I think looking back, you know, we tried really hard early on to say this is a 20-year project. There's no town in the Southeast that can absorb this much land, this much development in just a couple of years. But I'm not sure we hammered that point clearly enough. And so, you know, for us, it has always been never sacrifice quality for time. This is not, our development company, the way we are structured as a company, the vision and mission of our company is to build quality projects that make a difference in the communities that we work in. And that means being patient. That means being thoughtful and not racing to do something just because it checks a box or it, you know, is the best thing for the bottom line. It's doing it thoughtfully. And so that is how we've always operated. And I think we didn't make that clear enough when we started that is our intention here. I think now you can see it. Now you can come out and feel it and touch it and see the quality of what's built, see the partners that we've worked with and the great stuff they've built. And you can really now, again, as I mentioned earlier, understand what the vision is and see it and feel it and having the ability to show it. You know, most people don't like to buy the sizzle. We always say they like to buy the steak. Well, now you can come out, you've heard the sizzle. Now you can come out and see the steak. And that's a real change.
If you could pick a business, a retailer or restaurant that you haven't been able to convince to go there, but you really want to go there, what would it be?
You got to know the answer to this one. Everybody in this city knows, and I can't tell you the amount of effort we've extended on this, that it does not make sense to me that Columbia is the largest city, I believe, I don't know this to be a fact, but I believe to be the largest city in the country that does not have an Apple store. Oh. And I can show you lots of work we have done, including lots of really fun design efforts to really pique their interest and try to recruit them here. But what we've learned through that effort, and you know, they would be a game changer, not just for Bull Street, but really they would cement, I think, an expectation for all national retail that should be in this city and that is not.
Out of 100 cities that are of similar size, demographics, that we outperform, we're one of two that doesn't have an Apple store. And we've been on the serious campaign on it. I have been the last several weeks talking to various executives, and we're going to put the whole full court press on the retail side of that, because I told them there's just no excuse. We're a capital city. It's kind of like Delta Airlines. You know, we laugh about this, but I'm on a plane coming back and I'm looking and this flight tracker shows Augusta, Charleston, and Charlotte. Doesn't even show Columbia, and we have a hub for them. So I tracked down the informational officer and said, "The hell?" I said, "You need to update this. We're the capital city. How can you not include us in your flying here?"
I hope they answer the way you wanted them to.
They said they were there doing a technical upgrade sometime this month. So we're going to see, but
That's great.
I was offended by it.
The only part
of it's our own fault for not selling Columbia like we should. But the reality is we've accepted to be treated like a secondary market, which we are, but we're in the top tier of secondary Correct. Markets. All the growth is coming here. There's no other city in the Southeast that has the amount of college students, the military presence, and the crossroads that we do. There's not one city that has three major highways that cross it. Yep. Not one. So obviously there's still room to grow and things going, but you know, you have to start thinking about the future. And I think the state has elevated that conversation with DHEC and DMH and others moving from state land. And my understanding from the state is all that land, the proceeds will go to DMH to can further have investment in mental health. It's going to be interesting because, you know, how are they going to dispose of that property? What is our role going to be in the city? But then again, what's the role? You know, that could have a direct effect mm-hmm. on the balance of Bull Street. So I'm curious what your thoughts are, or, you know, what you're hoping the process will look like.
From the highest level, I think there's got to be general excitement, right? I mean, just from thinking about the city bringing that land back on the tax rolls. But I think what you've seen at Bull Street, and you see the development that is coming across the corner at Bull and Elmwood, behind the gas station and some of the old warehouse buildings that have been purchased and are being redesigned for an apartment building. I think the success of Bull Street, and one of the things we had hoped for when we started was, and we said, is if Bull Street is a success, it will radiate outwards. It is not about just the 181-acre district. It is about improving the quality of life and everything surrounding it. And so that means what a great opportunity to have a continuation. I mean, Bull Street as a street has 47,000 cars a day that travel that corridor. What unbelievable opportunity to continue the success and create more opportunities for retailers and restaurants and folks to live and just continue the density and the vision of what exists at Bull Street. That seems to me it's working. Let's continue it across the street. Let's continue that story of bringing great opportunities into that part of our city. And I think there's a real opportunity to do that. Exactly how that process goes, you know, the land that we purchased from the state was vacant for over 20 years before it fully went to sale and any work ever started. I think that my hope is that that process is cut, you know, down to 1 or 2 years, so that when the state does finally vacate those buildings, that there's some real sense of urgency around.
Oh, I think there's going to be
bringing that land back on the tax rolls and seeing that land developed as well. And I think it will be really complimentary.
Question is what is it? What does it become? Does it become a continuation of mix of office and potential retail, or does it become more residential to feed what's already there and enhance it? You know, surround it where it adds more bodies that can walk and enjoy the amenities that we've already invested in.
I think more residential would be great. More bodies. Obviously we talked earlier, rooftop spring retail. But I think there's more retail opportunity. I can't tell you with the success of Starbucks and Iron Hill, how many more calls we get about, hey, this is working. I want to be up along Bull Street. So I think there's opportunity for retail. I think there's opportunity for more residents. It doesn't have to be as dense. And I don't think, to me, it is a testament to the success of Bull Street if that is dense and urban and additive and brings more people. And even if it's direct competition, you know, Pepsi machines sell a lot more Pepsi when there's a Coke machine next door and vice versa.
All right. McDonald's and Burger King are across the street from each other for a reason. Yep. People like choices.
Exactly.
So it's important. It's going to be interesting to see how that unfolds. I mean, what I see going on, the same thing in the city is states doing the same thing the city's doing and consolidating. And really looking at putting stuff back on the tax rolls, engaging to use that ability to either further growth, more downtown living, enhance potential employers to come here with opportunity at land that's zoned ready in premium corners of the city. So, you know, it's going to be interesting how it all unfolds, but I do think that we're going to see a lot of that. I mean, it's clear to me the state is, all right, we and part of it is they haven't invested in buildings in a long time. And I think for them, it's around recruitment as well. They got a lot of retirees that are retiring, and people aren't beating down the door to go do government work. So facilities matter today. Quality of life, atmosphere, and environment is very important. I've heard more people want better, smaller space, but the amenities are most important. It's much like the young people have said, hey, we need professional housing downtown. We need housing that allows us to walk to work, walk to entertainment. But, you know, I want a coffee bar downstairs and, you know, I want exercise in my bed. When I come home from work, I want to be able to do all that and then get ready to go. I'm not buying a house. I'm not living in a neighborhood. You know, the concept has changed dramatically. And I think that leads into the same what offices are thinking about.
And I think, you know, what seems to be happening from my perspective, and I'm obviously not in those conversations, but the coordination between the city and the state and the university and everyone talking and working together and thinking about not just what is best for their individual organizations, but what is best for the entire region. That matters. That matters a lot. And having those partnerships, and I know you've worked so hard on creating some of them and pushing them, it's making a difference. And I think the medical school being downtown, being inside of Bull Street, will bring so much more opportunity. And that's just one example of the many that are happening around the city. And it's exciting.
That might be the greatest thing that happened, because it gave me a lot more faith back to the university and some of the decisions. Because when they invested in the upstate into a secondary program, there was a lot of fear from us locally who understand the way things shift at the state level. And we were really feared that the medical school was going to end up leaving, because when you saw that campus at the VA and they said, hey, you know, we need the land, y'all got to start thinking about moving out, I was like, there it goes. It's going to the upstate, because the state's not going to support three different medical schools. We need them.
Need them bad.
You know, primary care, number one issue that we need filled, and a lot of people doing specialties, but same time, we still got to foster that growth. To me, that was a big step. I think Dr. Amoritas is the best thing that's happened to the university in a while. Not taken away from Dr. Pastides, but you know, he was there for a while, but Dr. Amoritas lived here for 21 years. He's invested in our community. He's coming back. And his approach on making sure we're engaging our alumni, making sure that we're using the trademarks and the patents and the research that are there and bolstering those into businesses that are growing here, not somewhere else, is a different focus, you know, and I love that.
I could not agree more. And the investment they're making, I mean, this will be the first medical school, I think, that's been built in the country since COVID. The ability to create something that is state of the art, that is world class, that's going to attract students from, obviously serve students from across the state, but across the country as well, and bring those doctors in. And we can't forget that it's not just a medical school. This is their health science campus. They're going to be investing in this part of the city for a very long time, starting with medical school and research, but ultimately bringing a lot more programming. And hopefully a lot of that research turns into, you know, corporate opportunities. And
that's what's going to make it successful. And I'm hoping that as it continues to go through, you know, one of the things I'd love to see is that, you know, every community's kind of got, we're the center of excellence for this and that. We have an opportunity here with the orthopedics, which really plays into prosthesis well. Why does that make sense? Because we have the largest population of prosthesis here, some due to military, some due to diabetes and others. But what a cool way to research, tie in the ortho that is probably the best in the country right here, but opening the door for us possibly to have a Shepherd Center here so that our residents don't have to go to Atlanta, that those families, like I know right now, we have a friend who was in the real estate business who had a stroke. He's 50 years old and he's having to recover. His wife is gone all week, you know, and she's only be able to go down there on the weekends, and, you know, friends and everybody are chipping in. But think about if it was right here, mm-hmm. She could go home and take care of her two seniors and her middle schooler. You know, you start thinking about how many families have to travel to get health care that they should have here. And I think this is a way for us to stake, you know, Columbia plays a centric role because of where it's located. You know, mm-hmm. It's a handicap in some ways, but it also is a positive for the state in so many ways, because you can be centralized and get to the other parts within hours. And I think that's so important, especially when you start talking about services and opportunities, because you can't have one in every community. It just doesn't work. And I think this is our opportunity. No, this is exciting. More. Yeah. No, I mean, when you consider what's happening, what's going on, the apartments coming online, the retailers, you know, I know you've probably got a few announcements that you're not going to tell us and you're hiding, but, you know, we look forward to those. But, you know, Robert, thanks for being here. Thanks for sharing, you know, giving people a little more insight of what's happened to where it is and understanding the growth. You know, obviously, you know, everybody wants things to happen faster. And, you know, I think we're at a good place. I think the information that's being shared, the quality of the construction that's happening, I think is really getting people more and more excited. You know, doesn't happen all overnight. It's a major investment for all of us. I mean, look, let's face it. We're the best partner you got, and the biggest partner. And hopefully one day, you know, what we'll see at the end of the day that this trickled over and helped grow the rest of the parts around, which are important, you know?
Absolutely. So, absolutely. It is a, I'll commend you and you know, the city's hungry. It's really fun time to be building in Columbia and to be bringing people here and talking. There's a real sense of urgency at Bull Street. There's a real sense of urgency across this city that it's Columbia's time. There's no more excuses. There's no more complacency. It's time to go. And I love it. I love the energy. We're excited to be a part of it. We're doing whatever we can. You know, the success of Bull Street is the success of Columbia. The success of Columbia is the success of Bull Street. It's all tied together, and we got to grow the pie. We got to keep going, and it's really exciting to be a part of it. So I thank you for having me here, and I thank you for all you're doing for this city.
Man, I love waking up every day and going to work and seeing, you know, the conversations that we have with the other mayors and people no longer territorial. Well, it's going to Lexington. I can't support that. No, I think that's all changed. And I hope Scout really helps center some more of that, because that's a great example of everybody coming together to make something happen. And every community in the Midlands is going to benefit from that.
Absolutely.
And people have to understand, just because somebody located doesn't mean where everybody lives. Everybody picks neighborhoods based on what they're looking for. People want different things, and having that. But globally, everybody's going to come through downtown one point or another. And I do think we're the center. And I think now, for the first time in a long time, I feel like people are really positive about making the point that we should be the number one city in South Carolina. We're the state capital. We need to look like it. We need to act like it, but we need to tell our story. And we don't have anybody to blame but ourselves, because we haven't told it. You know, I remember hearing business people say, well, you know, Columbia is a great place to live because we're 2 hours from the beach and 2 hours from the mountain. I think that is a great asset, but that's not how you lead about our community. You talk about the people here, the businesses here, the investment, the, you know, the entrepreneurs, how many small businesses are here, you know, that we're, hey, let's take advantage of it. It's a double-edged sword, but being the center of nonprofits and universities and the state government also protect us from a recession.
Absolutely.
So take the good with the bad and say, look, at the end of the day, yeah, we may have more property that's off than others, but look at what we do have. Mm-hmm. Look at what we generate, and look at the jobs, the people, and the opportunities. And so our goal is to create more opportunities, to make Columbia the best it can be, so that our kids, when they're ready to raise their families or they want to start a career, everything they want is right here. They don't have to go to another community to find it. It's right here. We have that potential. Mm-hmm. Now we just got to live up to it.
Could not agree more. Could not agree more.
So everybody, thanks for joining us. Thanks, Robert, for being here. If you haven't been over to Bull Street, right over there, go to a game, go eat lunch, go shop, check out the apartments. If you're ready to downsize and sell your house and rent, go rent in Bull Street for a while. Experience something different. Downtown living is where it's at. So find your spot. Thanks for listening.
Thank you.